Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius was tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. John went throughout the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding roads shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, by now, the shopping season is in full swing. There is some report that more people bought stuff on Amazon or online, and the stores are full, and people are spending loads and loads of money. And they're trying to pick out something very personal, like something the pastor would really like. Well, not exactly, but taking out special gifts that would relate to the person to whom they want to gift. And there are gifts and gifts. I remember when I was with Cardinal Manning, people would call and say, "I want to give the Cardinal something very special for Christmas." And of course, he had no value for anything material. He'd give it all away. So I'd say, "No, send him a spiritual bouquet, prayers. He loves prayers." "Oh, no, hey, we got to buy him something real special, like a cashmere sweater or something like that." And say, "Well, he'd prefer prayers." "No, no. We got to get him a cashmere sweater." "Okay. Medium, maybe blue. Fine." And then, of course, when he got the thing, he'd say, "I think this would fit you." And I said, "Yes, it would, actually. That's very good." So I ended up getting a few cashmere sweaters. But when we talk about a year of mercy, we are talking about giving a gift which cannot be bought, priceless. That's the gift of openness, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of an open door, to open the door of your heart, open the door of your mind. And I'd like to speak about that and to draw our teachings out of the Word of God. That first reading from the prophet Baruch, he's a minor prophet. You'll hear very little about him. He was the scribe for Jeremiah, the great prophet. And it's a very short book. It's just got 6 chapters, and it's lost there in the... Actually, it does not appear in most Protestant Bibles. They do not accept it as inspired. But it's in our Bible. And it's set way back there during the Babylonian exile, the 6th century B.C., when all the Jewish people were cleared out, the temple was destroyed, and they were all in exile in Babylon. And Baruch is writing saying, "Be confident, the day of the Lord is coming. Follow the Lord, and all will be well." So he's very encouraging. He said things will work out, and harmony will occur. And it's picked up in the gospel reading. John the Baptist is proclaiming a year of repentance, a time of repentance. And that proclamation of the call to conversion is found in all 4 Gospels, chapter 3 in Matthew and Luke, because they have the infancy narratives. But in John and in Mark, it's in chapter 1. It's the very beginning of the proclamation of Jesus into his public ministry. It's interesting, we say reform or repent, not good translations of the Greek. The Greek has two words commingled. One is meta, which means around or somehow attached. And then nuen is to think, N-O-E-I-N. Meta nuen. And literally it means to change your mind. Nous is the Greek word for mind. We have an English word, noetic, which is relating to the intellect. So the best translation, according to scholars, especially Raymond Brown writes a lot on this, he says, the best translation is change your mind. Now, you might change your behavior, but to change your opinion, change your mind, that's different. Especially when you talk to religious people, they figure they've got all the answers. I've been following Jesus for a long time, and now the gospel tells me to change my mind. Change your mind. Okay, I'll give this person a gift, but I won't change my mind about him, because I know what he's like, and I have an opinion about him, and I have an opinion about this person, and I'm not going to change my mind. And yet, the essential statement of Jesus in all his proclamations is to change your mind. Not so much to change your behavior, but first change your mind. So let me talk a little bit about the invitation of a year of mercy to change our minds. I am one of you. We're the same. We think, you know, that the Monsignor is holy and perfect. And well, I'm close to perfect, but I'm not exactly perfect. But we're the same. And when we get a year of mercy that's calling us to change our minds, that's very significant. Now, we are living in relationships that are very frequently dysfunctional. They don't look that way. They're what I call functionally cold. They're just functional. But there's no really warmth and caring and sensitivity. Some of these relationships are very close. They're bonded relationships. And we probably offend more the person who is closest to us, because we're around the person more. And secondly, our true selves appear when we're at home. In the old country, we had a saying, we'd say, well, that's so-and-so, so-and-so. And we'd say, well, who is he when he's at home? Because when you're at home, that's the true person. Now, we have the image out here, and the image is, oh, this wonderful, incredible, fabulous, wonderful person. But when I'm at home, that's the true person. And that's where the wounds happen. And if you want to give a gift that is priceless, listen to the invitation of the year of mercy. Does the wound happen because I am controlling? Does it happen because I'm too demanding? Perhaps I'm too sensitive and I'm interpreting things. Perhaps I'm too insecure and pushy. Must have the last word. Who's in control here? The wound is sometimes even deeper because we don't talk about it. We're just functional. These relationships are just functional. We don't talk about the wound, therefore it's buried, and it becomes deeper, more embedded, because we don't discuss it. We don't allow a discussion to happen. So listen to the gospel reading. And that first reading from Baruch. The mountains, the enduring mountains of firm opinion, of pride, have to be lowered. Renounce the pride. The last word. The mountains have to be made low. The valleys will be filled in. The figurative language is very powerful. The language of wound, the language of hurt. This has to be filled in. We have to somehow find a year of mercy, a time of healing, reconciliation and healing. Crooked paths will be made straight when we were deceitful or selfish. or over-demanding. When we pushed people around and made them do it our way. Crooked paths made straight. The rough roads will be made smooth. And there will be harmony. That's the year of mercy. Now, I know what a broken family is like. I have experienced it in my own family. And this time of the year, which is a gifting time of the year, is also a very sensitive time of the year. The wounds of loneliness become more obvious this time of the year. The hurts, they have to be buried deeper so that I look cheerful. The unspoken, unguarded, all this, it all comes up to the surface this time of the year in a special way. So when we get to speak about a year of mercy, we're talking about forgiveness which we did not exercise. We're talking about listening. Listening. With openness. With courage. We're talking about getting hold of enough courage to look deep inside ourselves and see how picky and difficult and awkward we can become. And how this wounds relationships. Who is excluded? Who is diminished in your family? Who didn't meet your expectations? Who disappointed your dreams? It may be a remorse that you carry for something that happened in the past. I'm holding it. It's a wound. I'm carrying it. It's gone deep by now because I've been carrying it for a long time. Sometimes they're small things, but they're very disturbing. And they come to the surface in a year of mercy. I remember when my mother died in 1981, I was working with Cardinal Manning. And since I was sitting in an office, I had the habit of writing notes. I write notes. I still write a lot of notes. A note, by the way, is worth much more than anything in an email. Forget the email. A personal note, two or three lines, is worth gold. I write notes. Priest, sister, brother, mother, father died. I always wrote them a note. And then my mother died. Went to the funeral, came back here. And I got a lot of notes from priests, but not all of them. And then I was on the confirmation tour with Cardinal Manning, and we were going to all the parishes. And when I'd get in the car in the afternoon to drive to Santa Ana or Santa Barbara, I'd say, you know, this pastor, I wrote a note to him last year. He didn't write a note to me. I said, wow, I was holding this. And I had all these guys identified. I was carrying this inside of me. And the cardinal said, look, you got to pray that you'll forget. And I said, so each time we got in the car, he'd say, now, before we move, we'll say a prayer that you'll forget. And after a while, I forgot. I didn't hold it anymore. We hold things like that. It's a year of mercy, for heaven's sake. It's a year to forgive. It's a year to accept forgiveness from the other person. It's a year to say a gentle word, to give a kind embrace. For heaven, this is the meaning of it. How many people are hurt in the church? We have hurt people in the church. We have excluded people. People that should be coming to the table of life and the table of healing and the table of encouragement. Somebody told them they don't qualify. But that wasn't the word of God. It wasn't the power of Jesus Christ that said that. So we need to embrace people, to dignify people, to exalt people, to share compliments, to say the kind word. To be healed. That's the meaning of the year of mercy. We carry this stuff and it cultivates a certain remorse in us over a period of time. Look back and you'll find that in the human condition, I will certainly find it in my own life, that I'm remorseful for the hurts I imposed on people or demands I made on people. Look back and say, I was too tough, I was too hard, I was too demanding. And a certain remorse about that. I want you to think about this, because this is what the year of mercy really means. That's what the Word of God sends to us today. Now, Tennyson has this marvelous meditation that I have looked at many, many times. Two men stood by a grave and wept, and their tears wiped away the years of strife. And then they wept again for the years that were lost. Don't lose the years. Listen to the invitation of the Spirit. Belong to the opening of the doors in this year of mercy. Let this impact your closest relationships, your family, your friendships. Be free so that this Advent season will come to life. And above all, give a priceless gift which cannot be bought, cannot be merited. Nothing can purchase it. It comes from the heart. The greatest gifts come from the heart. Amen. Please stand and we shall now pray. And this is a litany asking for forgiveness. My brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sinfulness. Sinfulness has to do with relationships, not with laws. As we prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries on this Reconciliation Sunday, the beginning of a year of mercy, let us pray for God's forgiveness. And I will sing each invocation, and I'd like to respond with, Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
For the times I've failed to do good, and have not listened with an open heart, we pray.
Lord, have mercy.
You forgave the many sins of the woman who showed you great love. Who have I judged? Who have I excluded? We pray. For the times I held back my charity and love, and have not shared forgiveness, that which I have received, we pray.
Lord, have mercy.
You did not condemn any of the sinners whom you met, but sent them away with your mercy and peace. When have I been jealous, petty, or judgmental? We pray.
Lord, have mercy.
For the times I failed to forgive another, especially the ones who are close to me, and in my selfishness withheld a good word or a compliment, we pray.
Lord, have mercy.
You carried the lost sheep back to the fold. Let me follow your example, we pray.
Lord, have mercy.
For the times I have used my power over another, and did not treat the other as brother or sister in Christ, I have been demanding or controlling, we pray.
Lord, have mercy.
You did not shun the company of outcasts and sinners. Help me to follow your example,
Together we pray. For the times I allowed my anger to turn to hate, we pray.
Lord, have mercy.
You call me to change my mind, my opinion. In my certainty, I have rejected the opinion of others. We pray.
Lord,
for the times I was unfair to another, in my weakness, I have divided my family. I have mistaken tolerance for acceptance. We pray.
Lord, have mercy.
At your crucifixion, you promised paradise to the repentant thief. Though he did not confess his weakness, let me follow your example. We pray.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Please be seated. You may have picked up one of these cards coming in. And if not, the ushers will come forth and hand them out now. I would like everybody to take one of these cards. The ushers, please come forward. If you want a card, please raise your hand and the ushers will give it to you. This card is part of a ritual. Rituals are very important. I mean, when you have an argument with somebody, you have an argument with your wife and said, okay, I forgive you. Is that enough? Oh, no. I need a diamond. I need a dinner. I need a candle lighted. Rituals. Rituals carry the experience. That's why rituals are important. So I want you to take one of these cards. And I'd like you to make a mark on the back of it. Someone that you wish to forgive. Somebody that you want to bless. Put a designation. Could be an X, whatever it is. Could be an initial. Whatever. And when you come to communion, bring that card up and place it in one of these vessels here. It's a ritual saying, this is my promise as I begin a year of mercy. I need to heal some wounds. I need to include somebody. I need to overlook human weakness. I need to be more accepting, not more tolerant, more accepting. I need to see with new eyes, see the goodness in those who have up to now appeared not so good. I need to share a compliment. When you come to the sign of peace today, keep in mind that the person next to you may be the one most in need of a sign of peace, which is meaningful, not trivial, meaningful. Say, I love you, peace be with you, I bless you, I thank you, whatever. Keep this card for a moment, and the choir will sing their offertory hymn, and we'd ask you to this. Now, before we sing the hymn, I want to invite you to pray in a special way.